Let's turn to number Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. We're going to go back to a name of Jesus Christ. And it is amazing that this was the next one on the list, because this is one of my favorite ones. I'll give you the definition. And these two definitions that the dictionary gives, they both fit him. The Lord's so very, very good to us. I can't tell you that enough, how good Christ is to us, the good things he does for our life. And boy, it's just one thing after another. He's just wonderful all the time. If you take your Bibles and look at Romans chapter 11, we're going to start in verse, let's start in verse 25. Well, let's start in verse 23. We could read this whole chapter, to be real honest with you. But verse 23 in Romans chapter 11, they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. That's speaking of us, that graft in. I know you've been taught that here, but just to real quickly reiterate, we are of the wild olive branches of that persuasion. We are the Gentiles. Unless there's a Jew in here, but we are the Gentiles. There's Jew and there's Gentile. That's really the only difference that the Lord makes in people. As Jew and Gentile. If we believe in Jesus Christ, though, we being that wild olive branch are grafted in among the children of Israel. We are grafted in. We are by adoption. We are put into that wild olive branch. That graft in is you. You didn't deserve it, nor did the Jews for that matter, but we don't deserve this salvation that God gives us so freely. But when we do get saved, he grafts us in among the children of God. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. So if you look, that's that graft in. If you don't abide in, not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. We don't have time to go over all that, but understand this. I believe that the Lord put a fog, if I could pick a better word, put a fog on the Jewish people to give us an opportunity to be saved. I mean, that's the bottom line. I believe personally, if he could have come back, the Jews would have accepted him. He'd have set up his kingdom, and that would have been all she wrote. But I know that God knew that they wouldn't. I know that the Lord knew, because he knows everything. I know the Lord knew what was going to happen, and because he knew what was going to happen, he said, Jewish people, you are my children. I love you very much, but you must accept me. They got to get saved just like we do. And please get saved. Well, we would not. We would not take you. We don't believe in you. So he goes to the Gentiles. Praise God for that, because if he doesn't go to the Gentiles, we don't get an opportunity to be saved. I'm excited about that. I don't care how, by the way, I don't care how it got to me. I don't care what he had to go through to get it to me. I'm just glad it got to me. Amen? All right, so if we look at this again, for I would not, brethren, verse 25, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Sion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. And as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. Now, I want to go over the name Deliverer. Deliverer is, boy, I tell you, it's one of my favorite names of Jesus Christ. Deliverer is one of my favorite names of Jesus Christ because of the two definitions that deliverer encompasses. If you think about the first deliverer, and if you look in just about any dictionary, the first part that they give you is a person that is able to bring the goods. The person that is able to bring the goods. I got to be honest with you. I know this deliverer is speaking about more than just this. But what a great place to start. I mean, if you think about Jesus Christ for a minute, is there anybody in the whole wide world ever in history or eternity that is ever able to bring the goods better than him? Now, when you say, what are the goods? Well, let's take a little walk over to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. I want to talk about these goods. I know I've spoken to you about this before. The Bible says in the Old Testament, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And there's speaking of sin. Now, please understand, who wrote the Bible? God did. Jesus did. Holy Spirit did. Take your pick of the Trinity. They all had their hands in it. Okay? That God brought us this Bible that we have. Now, who made it up? God did. We didn't make it up. God did. If we'd have made it up, man would have been good people. Okay? But man's not good people. We're a mess. I know man didn't make that Bible because it condemns man. Okay? So we know that we didn't make that thing up. I mean, if I'm writing an autobiography, I'm a good person in that autobiography, man. I'm great. Okay? I'm not going to tell you the truth about me. I'm going to tell you that I'm great. So here we go. We've got God making the rules, and the rules are that blood must be shed for the remission of your sins and my sins. There must be a shedding of blood. Back in the Old Testament, God gave them the rules. A lamb should be slain. And by the way, look through Leviticus. There are a myriad of sacrifices that the people had to do. And if you read through Leviticus and understand a little bit, if you go into Leviticus is pretty boring, okay, just to be real honest with you, whatever it is. But if you look through Leviticus with this thought in mind, one thought you should have in your mind while you're looking through Leviticus. A lot of the Bible students say we labor through Leviticus. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you look in Leviticus with this thought, the wages of sin is death. If you go through Leviticus with the wages of sin is death, I promise you this, you'll look at Leviticus a whole lot differently. The people of that time had to sacrifice animals. They had to sacrifice birds. They had to sacrifice goats and sheep. Take your pick. They had to sacrifice a lot of things. By the way, there were not just 10 people that were there. There were millions. So I got to believe that the little brazen altar that was made with that fire burning was pretty busy during the Day of Atonement and all these things when you had to offer. I got to believe that the Levitical priesthood was a very busy thing. I got to believe that the blood was just stained red for the wages of sin. I got to believe all these things happened. And by the way, they all happened because Jesus Christ told them that that's what they needed to do. It wasn't that took away their sins, that covered their sins, and not the work, the belief in the work is what took away those sins. The Jewish people had to be saved just like us. Old Testament people had to be saved just like us, but understand this. The Old Testament people didn't go to heaven right away. When they died, they went to a place called paradise. Don't have time to go into all these scriptures, but understand this. When Jesus Christ led captivity captive, that was the people that he led captivity. That was the captivity in Abraham's bosom or paradise. Take your pick. Heaven is neither of those things. Heaven is not Abraham's bosom. Heaven is not paradise. Heaven is heaven. And by the way, nobody was allowed to go there until the seed came, which was Jesus Christ, that died on that cross for you and for me. He went down into hell, grabbed the keys to death and hell, punched the devil in the mouth, and went up to heaven. And by the way, he stopped by here to prove himself by many infallible proofs that he was alive. All these things I've said to say this. If you look in Hebrews chapter 9 with me, is there anybody that brought the goods better than Jesus Christ? Look at this. Look in Hebrews chapter 9, and we're going to start in verse 13. We got to start way back before then. Good night. Let's just read it all. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1. Then verily, I love Hebrews, by the way, one of my favorite books in the Bible. Then verily, the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the shewbread, which is called a sanctuary. After the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, and which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that had budded, and the tables of the covenant. And over it the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself, because the high priest was a sinner too. I'm going to tell you, there's not a man that walks this earth that's not a sinner. Not one. the high priest ordained by God had to offer blood for himself. Why? Because he was a sinner. Not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time when then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks with and diverse washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ, aren't you glad? All these things were set up by God, every one of them. Every one of them were a figure, a symbol, a type of things to come. They were looking toward the cross. We get to look back. But understand this, these things that God told them to do did not take away their sin. It was belief in them that covered it so they could go to paradise. Still didn't take away their sin. Their sins weren't taken away until Christ came. Here we go. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, here's the deliverer, but by his own blood. You can talk, and by the way, I don't hear much about this argument anymore, but it used to be a going concern that blood was not necessary. It used to be a going concern that Christ's blood dried up. I'm going to tell you right now, Christ's blood still has that same power today as it did way back then. It better have, or we're going to go to hell. You know, I know salvation is believing in Christ, but there's a whole lot more to it than believing in Christ. Your salvation was paid for in full. And there's a lot to that payment, by the way. He delivered. If you're going to talk about a deliverer, Christ delivered the goods. Look at this now. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. I'm going to tell you right now, it irritates me so much when people believe that what they have to offer gets them anything. It bothers me when you feel in your mind, and by the way, I'm not trying to depress you, I'm trying to excite you. You tell me, well, it's all the good things I've done. It's nothing to do with the good things you have done. Not one thing. It's all because there was a God that loved us so very much that he delivered the goods. He made the rules. I can't get that to you enough. He made the rules. Brother Turner, do you understand that Christ made the rules that he had to go and die before he ever went? Forever settled. Forever settled in eternity is the word of God. The word of God said that there must be a sacrifice. There must be a blood sacrifice without blemish, without spot. It must be delivered. It must be. There's got to be someone. There's got to be, because that's the rules. So whose blood must it be? We've had calves. We've had bulls. We've had goats. We've had turtle doves. We've had wave offerings. We've had heave offerings. We've had meal offerings. We've had drink offerings. We've had all these things that you can find in the book of Leviticus, but not one of those could deliver. When you look at this verse, you got to understand something. Remember what I've always told you about Jesus? You've got to make this personal. When he did this, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for Phil Gwynn. Come on, put your name in there. Put your name. If you know Christ as your Savior, he did this for you. He took a bowl. I don't know what it looked like. I don't know what it looked like. I'm just, whatever. He took a bowl of blood. His own. His own. His own. Subjecting himself to the people of this world that were evil, wicked people. For us. Having delivered. Hello, Domino's. Yes. I would like to order an eternal redemption. Please. And could you put pepperoni on that? Jesus Christ said, I'll fill that order. Who else could do it? Name me a good man. Could the Pope do it? I don't even think he's a good man. Oh, yeah, Catholic talk again. Let me explain something to you. I'm a little tired of our tolerance. I'm a little bit tired of a tolerance of a people that continues to watch people go to hell because they won't say a word. See, Jesus Christ grabbed that offering, the offering, the only one, he made the rules. See, he made the rules. He said to himself when he's writing in this Bible, by the way, I don't care which one you put, Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, God the Father, God the Son, they all had their hands in the Word of God. Here he comes with his blood, his own blood. I don't know how he did it. You look at me like, how did he do that? I don't know how he did that. He's God. Ask him when we get there. Because I'll tell you, the bowl will still be there. It'll still be there at the mercy seat. It'll still be there saving people every day. Why? Because he delivered. You want to talk about a deliverer? We can say, well, he delivered Israel. Yeah, he sure did. He did. He delivered you too. By his own blood. I get worried when preachers won't talk about the blood anymore. I get worried when they won't bring up that blood sacrifice made a difference. I get worried when they won't speak about the life of the flesh is in the blood. And the only reason we have life is because of his blood. I get a little bit worried when people won't talk about these things anymore because, you know what, I'd just rather talk about the Hallmark card side of Christ. I'm going to tell you, this is so much better that he delivered, he brought the goods by his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained by the one time he went in there. He never has to come again. That blood was perfect blood. By the way, don't ever let them take he was born of a virgin out. Because if they take that out, then we don't have perfect blood. Because if he was born of man, that's tainted blood. Joseph was not his daddy. See, you got to understand something. The life of the flesh is in the blood, but he's got to have perfect blood. That's why he was born of a virgin. Don't take that out of there, because if he wasn't born of a virgin, we can't be saved. What a deliverer. She delivered our deliverer. Delivered him for us, because he made the rules for us. How good is God? The things that we go through on this life are so trifle. Compared to what he went through for me, what we're going through is just trifles. And as I look and say, man, a deliverer is somebody that brings goods, somebody that delivers, somebody that makes it possible. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, for if the blood of bulls and goats, verse 13, and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. We're still not to the second definition yet, by the way, but understand this. Why don't we serve God anymore? I mean, why don't we have this desire to serve God anymore? Where is that gone? I believe we find it right here. Because we don't wrap our head around what he's done for us, because we don't come to grips with him offering his own blood. Please understand, Christ does not have scarred hands. Christ does not have scarred feet. Christ has wounded hands and wounded feet. Now, the reason that that's important is because those hands are not going to scar. Those wounds are not going to heal. Why? Because they're there for us. Those things are there for us. His blood's not going to dry up. Why? Because if it dries up, it certainly would have dried up by now, and we wouldn't have that to be able to cling to. See, we must understand, when you think about the cross, you need to think about you, not the corporate world. When you think about the cross, you don't need to think about the picture. You need to think about you in the picture. When you think about the cross and you realize what Christ has done, it'll make everything in this whole wide world grow strangely dim. It'll make the things that you're going through seem small. It'll make the things that you're looking at seem small. And you'll think about, man, what can I do for Christ today after he's done so much for me to deliver the goods to me? I wonder what kind of goods I can deliver for him. Why do we do the things that we do? We ought to do them because Christ gave that ultimate redemption, that purchase by his own blood. I got to be honest with you. How many people do you know that would let you give them a paper cut for you? Come on now, be honest with me. Let your what you think your Christianity is go for a minute. Can you imagine if you were asked to give your life for somebody? Oh, you might here and there, a good man, you know, you might find somebody that you would die for. You might find somebody you love so much that you'd be willing to give your life for and take the place for. I would die for my wife, there's no doubt about it. You're not going to kill her without killing me first. I would die for my wife. But that's not who Christ died for. Christ died for people who didn't like him. Christ died for people who want to get. Are you going to? You would much rather have your enemy die for you. Amen? But Christ purchased this eternal redemption for everyone that's ever walked this earth or ever will. Whether they liked him or not, he purchased their redemption. How much more, verse 14, shall the blood of Christ, that deliverer, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God. He didn't look elsewhere for this. He looked right in the mirror and said, I made the rules. I'm the one that must go. I believe we'd put away our alcohol if we wrapped our head around that. I believe we'd stop watching filthy movies if we wrapped our head around this. I believe we'd stop doing the things that we're doing in our life that he's not pleased with if we can wrap our head around that. That he offered himself. He offered himself without spot to God. Purge your, put your name in here too. Purge Dave Ballard's conscience. Purge Dave Ballard's conscience from dead works to serve the living God. What a deliverer. What a deliverer. He delivered eternal redemption for me. That's somebody that can deliver the goods. Go back to Romans. If you look at verse 26. Yes. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Now, can I ask you a question? The first definition is a person who delivers goods. I believe personally that Christ is the greatest deliverer of goods in the whole wide world. He did the greatest thing in the whole wide world by delivering his own self and his own blood for me. Now, the second definition is one that saves from danger or destruction. One that saves from danger or destruction. I got to be honest with you. I believe that danger is likened to how we live our everyday. How we live our lives day to day. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. every day that we live our life, that danger that we can get into in our life. And I could take the time to go to a million scriptures in here where Christ warns us of things and Christ tries to take us away from things. Be transformed by renewing of your mind. Look at chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world. It's a warning. That's a warning from Christ. There's danger there in the world. There's danger there. Be not conformed to the world, but be you transformed. That's a warning of danger that you could have in your life if you conform yourself to what this world is doing. Now, he's a deliverer from those things because he's warning us of the danger to come. I promise you this, if you're in the world or like the world or all these other things, and I'm going to make somebody mad right now, but it's the way it goes. I see more people get their lives ruined because they can't get off their stinking computer than you can ever imagine. Now, you can get mad at me all you want to, but I believe with all my heart that the Lord has told me through lots of different ways that that computer is no good. Amen. Get mad at me all you want to. It's no good. And as you're looking at the computer, it's amazing that we have no time to read our Bible. The warning's there. Please stop. Please stop. Please stop. Your Bible's sitting over here. That's where God wants you to be. But you spend more time in the computer than you ever thought about spending in your Bible. And matter of fact, this computer's taken over your life so much that the Bible is now no longer existent to you. I hope and pray that you found it this morning when you came to church. There's the computer. There's your Bible. God's warning you. Please stay away. Please stay away. There's danger there. Yes. Yes, it can be used for good. Don't you sit there and tell, every time I talk about this kind of stuff, well, I'm going to be honest with you, brother, the computer can be used for good. Yeah, it really can. It really can. But I got to be honest with you. You be honest with yourself. When's the last time it was? If you've got to make excuses, it can be used for good. It can be used for good. This is always used for good. I know you don't like this kind of preaching. I know that. I know that. I understand that. I get that. I get that. You know, I know you're going to come to me later. I know you. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I stay on Facebook because I stay connected. What did you do 5 years ago? Yeah. I mean, good night. Your phone goes with you everywhere you go. I mean, when we went through the Bible calendars, how many told me it was too hard? I couldn't do it. Whatever, I'm not mad, whatever. I'm just saying to you, there's nothing. You don't ever have to give anybody an excuse to read your Bible. Have you ever done that? Think about that for a minute. You know what? You read your Bible too much. Come on, think about it. Come on, let's be honest with each other. The Lord's trying to warn you of danger. How does he do that? Through his word. Amen? He's trying to deliver you from certain danger. Road signs all along the way. Please stop. Please stop. Please stop. Well, it can be used for good. But you're never going to hear me. Well, you know what? You talk about my Bible can be used for good. Come on, have you ever had to make that excuse? Have you ever had to say, you know what, you read your Bible so much, I'm going to tell you right now, you stay away from me about my reading my Bible. My Bible can be used for good too, buddy. Hey, you pray too much. Hey, prayer can be used for good. Let me explain something to you. I'm not telling you ever did anything wrong. I won't say that. That's dumb. I'm not saying you ever did anything wrong. No way. But can I ask you a question? Is there anything more right than this? Okay. All right. Let's say you do something right over here. Nothing wrong with staying connected. Nothing wrong with that. By the way, let me help you out a little bit. I am not somebody's going to sit there and tell you that Facebook is absolutely horrible. I'm not. It can be used for good. I mean, to say that it can is dumb. Of course it can. Everything in the whole wide world can be used for good. But it's amazing to me how you fight. Huh? This is why nobody comes to Sunday school. I understand that. I get it. But I'm going to tell you right now, I worry. I worry because danger has been warned. I'm not telling you it's bad. I'm not. Hey, go ahead. I'm not going to come to your house and pull out your plug. I'm not going to do that. And I'm going to sit there and tell you, man, I'm glad you got in touch with that person that you got in touch with. I told you the story. I was on it for 2 weeks. 2 weeks. I've never seen more gossip in my entire life from people of this church in that 2 weeks. No! What? I hope it wasn't me. Hey, get mad at me all you want to. I got so mad every day. I said, this is dumb. Why? Because you was talking about me. What? I mean, come on. I was on there for one day and I saw all this stuff about me. Oh, I can't stand him. Blah, blah. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Blah, blah. You're right, I don't, but I don't need to know that from you. I mean, I started out my day every day. Couldn't wait to get to that thing. I'm telling you, say what you want. I couldn't wait to get to it. I couldn't wait to look at it, see what everybody had to say. It's like a mobile hen house. I don't know what to tell you. And here I am on that thing, and I came to grips with something. Real quick. Why is my countenance so low? Huh? Why am I so upset? Why am I so upset? Why am I so sad and disappointed? You know, I figured something out. Bob Edwards, people have no problem saying stuff about people as long as they don't have to confront them face to face. Come on, stick with me. Stick with me. Don't get mad at me. I'm talking about danger. You know what? You got something to say, come to me.
Amen.
Come on, come to me. Come to me. I'm not perfect. Good Lord, I may be a mistake that I have made that I can rectify because you told me about it. Don't sit here and think, well, Brother Dave, he won't change. That's not true. I very well may. I make mistakes. Hello? But don't dirty dog write about me on Facebook, you chicken. Come on, you chicken. If you're going to say something, bring it to me. You know what's happened? We don't have to anymore. We can just talk about it on the computer. We can just talk about it on the cell phone. We don't have to face each other because you wouldn't say those things to my face. I wouldn't say them to your face because I don't feel that way about you. Christ has given us danger, danger. He wants to deliver us because on the other side of danger is destruction. We keep going down the path that we're going down. By the way, please don't misread me. I believe that there are folks that get on Facebook and do nothing but good things. Say good things, encourage people. Please, hey, that's fine with me. But here's the danger warning that leads to destruction. If you don't spend any time in this, I don't care how many good things you're doing out there, that if you can't get to the Bible, if you can't get to prayer, the good things that you're doing out there are now becoming danger. The good things that you're doing, good things can be bad. So you stay out there, stay with the good conversation. Boy, I love Pastor Skyver. He's the greatest thing in the whole world. Love him. Fantastic. But if you don't get in this Bible, he's not pleased with your compliments. I'm not pleased with it. Of course, I don't get that many. Praise God. But I got to be honest with you. Danger comes. Danger, 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 which leads to the other side, which is destruction. And we get to the point in our life that's destruction. Let me explain something to you. You didn't get to destruction without being warned about the danger. There's a danger in many things that Christ tried to tell. I just picked on computers, but there's a lot more. There's a lot more. I mean, I know that there's folks that don't even have TV sets. I don't go that far. But I got to be honest with you, if you don't keep that in perspective in your home, if you don't keep that in proportion in your home, a right proportion, that's danger too. I don't care if you're watching the Andy Griffith Show. Well, that's black and white, preacher. That can't be bad for me. Andy Griffith can be just as bad as anything else if that's all you care about. As I look through these things, I talk about the deliverer. It means a lot to me because I know, I know the first bell's rung, but understand this. I know I've been here to where I need to be warned. I know I've been here where I need to have the, please, Lord, tell me about the danger. I know I've been here when I've ignored the warning. I've ignored the warning, and it's amazing when you ignore the warning how much longer it takes you to get out of the destruction. I've ignored the warnings of God, ignored them. But preacher's telling me this, and men of God are telling me this, but you won't hear, you won't listen, you won't think that it's destruct, you won't think that it's danger. But I'm so glad that even though I was here, even though I've been here, and sometimes I'm still there, amen, I'm so glad that the Lord is there willing to take me out of it, to deliver me, not only warn me, but deliver me from that judgment, to deliver me from that warning, to deliver me from that danger. Do you know an alcoholic does not start his life by drinking throughout the whole day? That may be where he ends up. And by the way, that's something you're going to hear about a lot here, because alcohol ruins lives. It ruins lives. You know an alcoholic starts, I used to tell this to teenagers all the time. Do you know an alcoholic starts out to be an alcoholic? And by the way, I've even recanted my first thought about that. An alcoholic does not start out being an alcoholic with the first drink. It's with being in the presence of alcohol. Because if you weren't in the presence of alcohol, you could never take the drink, praise God. Now, I understand. I understand that you can be in the presence of alcohol and not drink. I get that. But you know what's amazing to me? Alcoholics don't go to destruction without being warned first. And I see so many people that are in destruction from alcohol, in destruction from pornography, in destruction from these things that have been warned about this. Well, I just drink a beer just to get myself be ready for bed. I tell you what, how about you pray and read your Bible? I promise you God will give you sweeter sleep than you'll get from the Bud Light. And if you're doing that right now, I pray that you stay up all night just tonight, right now, tonight. If you drink if you drink beer before you go to bed, I pray to God he keeps you up tonight. And I pray to God, 3 o'clock in the morning, you say, you know what, that fat man was right. I should have prayed and read the Bible. I hope and pray you read the Bible and pray, and then you go to sleep. You're being warned, and there's lots of things to be warned about, not just your computer, not just your pornography. God warns you about what you need to be warned about. Take heed to the warning. Your deliverer wants to bring you out of those things. I'm glad that he puts up with me, because I'm here to tell you I make mistakes every day. Every day. If you'd be honest, so do you. But I'm so glad that the Lord loves us so much that he delivers us from those things. He delivers us from our... Can you imagine? He's delivered us for eternal redemption. He paid for eternal redemption. That's so wonderful. But to be real honest with you, he doesn't owe us what he gives us in this life. He got eternal redemption. He didn't owe us that. But stick with me one more thing. Let me say this one more thing. He bought eternal redemption. That's everything. Praise God. But do you know, Brother Edwards, he sticks with us throughout our life to deliver us too? He sticks with us in your everyday to deliver you from your everyday. Aren't you glad you made it to church today? I'm going to tell you right now, he delivered me from a week to bring me to church. I'm so glad that he delivers me in the everyday. I'm so glad he delivered me for eternity's sake. I'm so glad that he just cares enough to deliver me from everything. The deliverer to me is one of my favorite names that Jesus Christ has, because he has to work hard to deliver me. And I'm so glad he likes the work. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this morning. Lord, there's not enough times, not enough words, not enough things we could say to tell you how much we love you. God, you're wonderful. And Lord, I don't understand everything that happens in everyday life. I don't understand it. But Lord God, please help me through it. Lord God, please help to keep me delivered from the things that happen in my life, the things that I get myself into, God, that you know. And Lord, please keep warning me, keep telling me, God, and hopefully one of these days it'll take. Because, Lord, I need you every day. I need to talk to you every day. I need to read about you every day. Lord, please help the people that are here under the sound of my voice to wrap their head around what a good deliverer you are, not just for eternity, which is so wonderful, but for every single day. A delivery of every single day. Lord, we love you. Give us a great service this morning. Oh God, we need you to give us a great service. We need you to come down, Lord. We don't need anybody but you to be doing the preaching this morning. So Lord, please help us in that way. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We'll break for about 10 minutes.